No puresta kuuluisa palo kantahti, jalkani pohjii kutkutti. Ievan äiti se tyttönsä vahti, vaan kyllähän Ieva se jutkutti. Sillä ei meitä silloin kiellot haittaa, kun me tanssimme laijasta laitaa. Salivili hippu, tuppu, tappu, täppy, tippu, hiljalleen. Ievan suu oli vehnäisellä, koimme se tonne toivotti. Pää oli märkänä jokaisella ja viulu se vonkuja voivotti. Ei tätä poikoo märkyys haittaa, sillä kaskoo lajiasta laitaa. Salivili hippu, tuppu, tappu, täppy, tipput hiljalleen. Ievan äiti se tammaarissa virsiä veiseltä nuijutti. Kun tämä poika naapuurissa ämmän tyttöä nuijutti. Eikä tätä poikoo ämmät haittaa, sillä kalaskoo lajiasta laitaa. Salivili hippu, tuppu, tappu, täppy, tipput hiljalleen. Helipate, 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 hella, helipate, helipate, helipampa. Jali tuli jalla, tali tuli jalla, tili tuli, tili tuli, tili tanta. Vali tuli jalla, tili tuli talla, tili
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the pilot episode of The Good Show. You guys requested a talk show, and because lovely subscribers subscribed, we could make it happen. So we're here with a new esports show out of Europe, and of course, we don't really know what's going to happen, but we do know that we got an hour and a half to get through the news because we've booked a table at a restaurant and we all need to go and have food afterwards. We've got 1.5 hours to get through the news. On the show, of course, joining me is none other than infamous Saemler, really making a name for himself these days, hosting DreamHack, and, you know, we'll be starting
having
up a
having a good time, generally, yeah.
Yeah. And just to give you guys an update, you actually called the girl back and you got a date.
Yeah.
So we will. Fine.
These jerks. Yeah, it's fine.
Cue applause.
She thought it was hilarious. Yeah. I sent her the VOD after, and she was cracking up. So,
but the best thing is that is actually going to be one of the best dates ever because you can have so much to talk about. It's not going to be any awkward moments because you've done them all.
Yeah. We got through all that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So also joining off on the show because part of the big news this week, obviously, was DreamHack. So unfortunately, he's come around the house once again. Please welcome our guest. It is of course Robert Olin, the CEO of DreamHack.
Oh, and shit, we're live.
And joining him is also Hellspawn, who doesn't really represent DreamHack on the show, because Hellspawn is the terror of esports, aren't you? You just say what you want, Hellspawn, so you're more the Raka Khan guy.
The guys that are the players hate, love to hate, right?
No, I think the players like me, but not when I harass them on my site, maybe.
Yeah. So, of course, we're going to be going through some of the news of DreamHack in just a moment. We're going to give Robert a chance to say what was good, what was bad. We're going to grill you over numbers. I'm going to ask how
bad?
Much you made.
What do you mean bad?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Bye. And, of course, Hellspawn will hopefully be joining us in future shows since you've been in esports Hellspawn for a really long time. So
98, I would guess, something like that.
Yeah, so, you know, and
as long as I have had children.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That he knew about. And of course, Hellspawn, you've got a really long history in esports as well. But I guess people know you, well, you recently knew you most from Raka Car, a Swedish news site, which is actually much more international than it is Swedish, because a lot of people actually go there and just use Google Translate to get up to date on stuff. But of course, now you're working over at DreamHack, helping run a lot of the DreamHack projects.
He's another DreamHack peon.
Brilliant.
Yeah, you can say that.
Mm-hmm. Vassal?
So you're not going to fire that guy then?
No, we don't pay him.
All right, brilliant. All right then, so let's get back to the main desk. And just want to say as well, before we get into the DreamHack stuff and we're going through the news, of course, we don't just do StarCraft 2 at the Good Studio. We do a lot of other games as well. And we also want to talk a little bit about what the developers are doing. So we will be going into segments outside of StarCraft 2, which I think is, you know, very important in terms of esports growth in general. But of course, this show, our subscribers really were the ones that said, we want it, we have to make it happen. Yeah. And the reason that we can make it happen as well is because we got help from Asus. Asus are one of our sponsors for the studio, supported us with PCs, and of course we wanted to give them a little something back, so they're going to be supporting us through the show as well. So big thanks to Asus, and we've actually got a little competition for you guys over at Asus Facebook page if you want to get involved, and I can tell you what it is. This is how they judge how good we are, by the way. So Facebook is very important. That's the show notes.
Good job, mate. Good job.
We need Bully Boy on this fucking production, man.
So basically, over on Facebook, if you go to facebook.com/ROG Nordic, Republic of Gamers, you can actually get involved in a competition to actually win one of the newest Asus laptops, which are absolutely superb. All you need to do is actually like the Asus page, and then you'll have a little logo down here called the G55VW Contest. Click the contest. When you get into the contest, eventually, because our internet's slow because we're streaming. Basically, this is a laptop that you can win. The rules for winning are here, but it's quite simple. Really, all you need to do is read this, and what does Asus Republic of Gamers mean to you? And basically, there are lots of comments underneath that are loading. So basically, just go on there and spam Asus Republic of Gamers means that the good studio can have an eSport talk show.
And then, I wonder, how is Suji Roy? Is he all good?
Oh, yeah, he's on my Facebook, yeah. Let me... Well, I had to log into my Facebook because you can't actually see this competition unless you like the page.
Exactly. So, F11.
Oh, Jesus, I don't want you to be... Ah, I didn't work in your face. I'm sure I can just do that. Magic button.
Magic happens.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so if you guys can go on to this, it's pretty cool. And, of course, Asus are going to be supporting us more in the future. So if you can show your support for what we do in esports, you know, that really does help us out. And they're a great company and done a lot. Highstream says Poppy Spencer. All right, so let's get back on track.
Can I get the question first?
Yes.
I wasn't really... didn't know that Asus was sponsoring this. Can I trash talk them if I want to?
You can say what you want.
Hellspawn.
Cool. You guys
are guests. Mr. Nystrom, the guy of social readjustment, will be on your ass if you do.
Okay? Yeah, I know, but Rakaka always have a
this is not Rakaka.
That we, if we get the sponsorship, we still are allowed to say what we want to.
So yeah, and so are we. But the thing is, I mean, I chose the partners for the studio quite selectively, and Marcus from Asus is a really cool guy, and he actually watched our show yesterday and thought it was funny.
Yeah, he thought it was hilarious.
So
apparently,
we were quite worried about the feedback from that one. But anyway, let's move on. So let's get into the news then, and get straight into StarCraft 2. Obviously, we've got Robert Erland sat down, so we're literally just going to go through DreamHack right now with Robert, of course. So DreamHack, really, if you didn't see it on Reddit, it was like pretty much every post on the front page of Reddit StarCraft. Of course, four. Zane won, beating Polt in the finals, a Swedish winner here at the Open of your tournament. Other things to mention as well, Nice Mice came and turned up and played, very nervous. But, you know, for a 12-year-old, you know, that
was awesome.
Be expected. And you had some experience with him as well.
Interview. I got to interview him really shortly, and it was a lot of fun. It was funny because he's so young, and he's not used to being in front of a camera at all. So I was talking to him before and after, and he was great. You know, we were discussing, like, you know, what happened in the matches and all that, you know, just joking around. And then he got in front of the camera, and he locked up. So people were saying, oh, you know, you fucked up the interview. You were too serious or whatever. No, he just got really nervous in front of it. But, you know, but it was a lot of fun. He's super cool. And he was there through the whole weekend to watch the rest of the matches.
Yeah, I mean, and he played against Sase and lost. And Sase actually drew out the
game.
And
some
people actually got a little upset at Sase for drawing out the game because they didn't think it was mannered. But I think he just wanted to give Nice Mice as much experience in the tournament as possible in game time. And he actually did clean that up as well. And, of course, there was one surprise in the tournament. Was Proxy Panda from Sweden actually ended up, I believe, defeating Mana?
No, he beat Titan 2-0 by Titan. 2-gate proxying him two times in a row. And it was funny because Mana and I, in the interview that we did in the Skyview, we were just discussing that where he's like, yeah, I'm going up against Proxy Panda. I have no idea who this is.
Should have researched his life.
It's not that. It's not that. It actually comes back to another argument where in Brood War, for example, we were talking with Mana, and in Brood War, apparently, if you put the time into the game, you were basically guaranteed safety from scrubs because they just couldn't play at your level, and then they couldn't beat you because even if they tried to cheese you, they just didn't do it right and you still won. Whereas in StarCraft II, any new player, any no-name could actually just cheese you, do things that don't make sense or that you wouldn't be expecting and come out with the win. And that's exactly what Mono was afraid of when he was going into this matchup. So I felt really bad for him that it had happened, that he lost 2-0 like that.
Yep, okay. And of course, yeah, they were some of the free topics over at DreamHack. Obviously, Forzane winning was the main one. But over to you, Robert, because really, DreamHack is your first stop, DreamHack Azo Open.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You must have been quite chuffed with yourself afterwards.
Not
that you really didn't do anything apart from
I'm just the boss, you know, I just walk around. But I'm reasonably happy, yeah.
Yeah, and what about the stream numbers for? Because obviously the tournament side we know, and we can talk about Forzane beating Colt and how amazing that was.
The thing is, you know, we're still collecting and gathering all, because it wasn't only the official DreamHack stream, but we have all these community streams and SVT. So my guess is like within 24 hours we can, divulge a bit better information.
But did you feel that the stream numbers in StarCraft II for your event, were they a little lower than you expected? Just on the Twitch TV side of things?
Yes and no, because this was the first event of a series of five. So what I felt this morning when I went to the office was, okay, this is the premier event. But it felt like the last event because, you know, we succeeded so stellar and, you know, the crowd was amazing. Everybody who competed, and especially those who went to the end game and, you know, Apollo, and thank God we didn't have too good on stage. But, you know, it was, it's like, how the hell, where do we go from here?
I didn't want to bankrupt your company, so that's why I just stayed off. Just for one event, give you guys a break.
Right.
Yeah, but the audience absolutely loved it. I mean, you do something quite different within esports is you definitely put on a better show. The tournaments are always quite similar, and even your player caliber wasn't as high as some of your previous tournaments.
Right. However, there was as many Koreans in this tournament as it was in DreamHack Invitational Stockholm 12 months ago. So numbers of Koreans weren't less.
Yeah, but of course this is an open tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody can join.
Yeah, and speaking about the open side of things, Hellsworn, I believe you were the StarCraft II in charge of the StarCraft
Lord
II
of tournaments.
Lord of tournaments, yeah. so you had spaces for 128.
Yep.
And you had how many signups at the end?
I think it was 82 in the end, something like that. But I agree with you, we didn't have the strongest start field. But I think that people still around the world have a little bit hard time to recognize what DreamHack is, because it's so much more than most other esports organizations. We're having the festivals, we're having all these kind of different tournaments, and we have so much of it. So I think that people didn't really know what to expect coming into it. We should also remember that Hero and JYP and Idra had to cancel, which of course affected the...
And the traitor strongest. Grubby?
No, I love it. No, Grubby is maybe one of my absolute favorites.
Well, actually, I did speak to Grubby before the event, and he actually said he just didn't feel that he was in good enough form to actually compete in a tournament. So he felt that the opportunity just to cast and do something with Cassandra over at MLG was the right move for this time. But I do believe, obviously, he's looking forward to coming to more DreamHacks. But
yeah, and he has been there so many times. I know that for his first DreamHack, StarCraft 2 tournament in DreamHack Summer, he even bought a BioC slot so he can practice during the whole event. No, so Grub is great.
Yeah.
But I think that we came out late with information about what our 2012 season would be. So I think that affected a lot. And I think that every organization, every player that I talked with, saying, yeah, we want to come for a summer event, and hopefully we can have maybe the strongest DreamHack StarCraft 2 field ever.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, I'm not so worried about it. Maybe I'm a little bit more surprised that we couldn't fill the spots more from the Swedish part, but I think that that's also into that this is new. people didn't really understand that they could participate. And, can I play against Sase or Naniwa or Puma? I think that
Puma?
Yeah, Puma.
Yeah, but that's Puma. Apollo.
Yeah, but that's how it... that's Puma, Korea. Mate, Puma.
Okay.
But I think that that was also into it. So I talked to some other players, like, you should sign up. For example, Nice Mice, or for the other female girl gamer, Sophie.
No, Sophie and Madeline were awesome.
I talked to some of those that I have learned through the Swedish Championship of Esports that we run here in Sweden. Yeah. So maybe we should have had more players, a little bit stronger field, but I don't think that affected it in the end. I think when we're coming to the final eight, when we put on the show, I think that's maybe something that other organizations in the Western world are lacking. You don't see on the stream that the show starts or the final show starts. Yeah. So that was good.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone would definitely say it's been a big success, but sometimes the success in esports for appeasing your core audience is kind of already being done in so many ways because, yeah. I mean, that audience is already there and they're already watching. Now, how much of a success was DreamHack for the outside world? Because that's really where esports needs to go, is actually make noise in the mainstream media. Because, you know, that's where the growth's going to come from. If you look at Twitch TV and you compare it to Own3D.tv, you know, they're very similar in products. But Twitch TV, just because of the size of it now, has a lot of mainstream press. And actually, it just has a bigger amount of growth and more people coming into Twitch naturally from the size of it. So how was DreamHack's mainstream media from the tournament, Robert?
We just partnered up, or we continued our partnership with SVT, the Swedish BBC, if you will.
And they actually did a feature, I heard, on you guys. Was that right? Was there a
morning show? No, that was TV4.
Okay, continue.
SVT is the BBC, the national, the public service, no commercial. And our aim is to broadcast DreamHack Summer eSport Games on terrestrial TV.
Okay,
and we're really, really excited. So it's going to be like we're moving into the finer rooms of society.
I mean, one of the interesting things about that, though, is esports is an international, phenomenon in a way that everyone can compete, and there's really no boundaries. And you're selling your content to a Swedish network, 9 million. On the grand scheme of things, but for Sweden it's fantastic, and you guys have already, with DreamHack, have led that way. But
what it's all about is one thing is giving, the feedback to the fans. They feel that they are getting recognition, and they get like really hyped and psyched that they can read in mainstream media and watch mainstream media that the stuff that they are passionate about is actually, taken serious by the older generation, which is me.
You don't count.
I don't count. And we have seen it in America for a long time. I mean, even in 2001, 2002, traditional media was paying attention to esports. But in Sweden, we haven't had...
However, that being said, this ain't CGS.
No, but that was what the point that I was going to, that this is what... To my knowledge, the third time that you're going to be on the real TV after the CGS on DirecTV and also the CPL World Tour Finals that was on MTV.
Yeah, because...
So it's a big thing.
What we did with SVT, we had the agreement we have is that they actually made a board or director's decision that they're going to treat esports as any other sport.
Yeah.
For a public service non-commercial channel. That is, they can't control the arena. However, the studio, if they choose to broadcast, will have no branding or marketing, whatever. Mm. But whatever happens in the arena is like, hey man.
Yeah, that's the arena. So where else in the mainstream media, just to kind of finish up on this, because there was a morning show, and
it's
also
the biggest commercial channel in Sweden called TV4.
Okay,
doesn't mean it's smaller than the other ones, but it's the name it has, and they had actually a segment on the Swedish Sunday morning show, which everybody tunes into,
And they made a segment around 15 to 20 minutes long that is the best explanation for noobs, without being condescending, that I've ever seen, ever, worldwide.
About what esports is. Yes. This is. And of course, actually, Forze, I heard, got interviewed in Aftonbladet, which is the biggest newspaper.
rag in Sweden.
And so, also the biggest website in Sweden, actually.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. So you guys must be extremely ecstatic, not only with what you managed to do with
the core community,
but also you've hit some of the biggest national media that you have in Sweden.
Yeah, because, you know, DreamHack is basically internet. We're like a physical manifestation of internet, and all the, you know, the parents out there and the older generation that are worried when they see kids sitting on their room and, you know, they're on the internet. This is dangerous, man. But we're changing that. Okay. So internet's going mainstream.
So obviously you've hit a lot of things where you wanted to hit from DreamHack that went right.
Yep.
But what I want to know is not only what you did right, what do you feel that you did wrong at DreamHack? Because I have to give some criticism, because no
millions,
offense.
Millions of stuff.
But like, for example, day one on stream was pretty boring.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
The players had quite a bit to say.
It's because of the open structure, you know. Yeah. And it was a point with that, because we put all our, you know, energy into making the final day the thing. That was the show. The first day...
Our producer's just AFK right now. Yeah, the camera's on us. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Keep going.
I don't care. So the last day was supposed to be... So the thing is, with Stockholm Open, is basically, if you take... The second day is what we did with a DreamHack Open last year. The first day is the group play.
Yeah.
And of course, it's going to be less interesting games because it's an open
change
tournament.
Change the camera, Chance.
Put it over there, mate. All right, there we go.
And the Gypsy just changed the camera to me.
And you're wondering why he's not part of the production anymore.
No, of course, you know, but it's also always, you have to like, okay, what do we want to do? Are we going to do like an open tournament, 8 people only? Been there, done that. Ain't going to do that again. So this is a work in progress.
Okay. So
I just want to comment. I think there is a lot of work to be done, so we can do the first day better. There was I'm always dropping this one.
It's because your head's so smooth and shiny.
Yeah, probably. I want to comment on that also. I saw on Reddit that someone suggested me to wear a toupee.
I should wear a toupee.
Thing is that actually I have really, really good hair. I just like it short.
It's dense.
There's an instant meme coming out for you.
Yeah, dude.
Okay,
we learned that last night. You don't interact with the internet.
What happened is that I think that we were a little bit too much on the safe side because of tiebreakers. We had one tiebreaker with Sase, Hyun, and Forsen. We could have run into many more of those. And from the experience that I have with coin toss, we want to be on the safe side. Yeah, yeah. Also, we want the casters, we want the staff. You should remember that we don't have 45 people running the 128 people tournament. We're having maybe 10 people that doing all things with the streams, with the players, with the people that are visiting the events, and so on.
With 50.
So they need to eat also at some point, and that's not so easy. But I think that in the past we have had a much more tighter first day, so I take in the critique that I get. I think we're going to change that.
When we did the schedule, we wanted to have rooms for fuck ups.
Yeah,
but we didn't have any fuck ups.
New venue, a new concept, a lot of new people. So we were on the safe side.
Yeah, a bit too safe on the side.
Yeah. So that's the critique, and that's something that you learn doing more events.
Okay.
Also, I think that, I mean, it's understandable that you have a pool play for a lot of competitions to have an exciting first day, my problem with the pool plays has always been that they are not worth anything.
Well, I mean, so, I was so just saying why. I was also bored on stream a little bit because I felt you could have done more fillers between the games.
Yeah, that interviews, I agree with. Yeah.
And you know, and you had like some guy there to make as many awkward interviews as you want. I don't remember his name, but he was there, and I just felt like I just felt like maybe because there was so much going on that you neglected some of the entertainment side from day one.
Yeah,
you're right.
And also for those people,
we're horrible, actually.
Yeah, I know you're crap, but for those people. That were wondering about what Hellspawn mentioned about the coin toss. Just a recap. Actually, there was a situation at DreamHack where they had a three-way tie once, they played it again, and had a three-way tie again, and they actually had to flip a coin to decide who goes through, basically because of time restraints for the tournament. So, you know, you played it very safe, and the tournament overall was still a big success, but that was one of my critiques for the tournament. Anything that, from your experience, and we've mentioned what you've done really well, like Image, you know, the music, everything, you know, it was really good. And I know you actually have to have a license in Sweden to play, you know, music that gets stuck in my head after the day after the event. Yeah. But from both of your experience, you know, maybe Robert especially, because I know you don't do much at the event. You just walk around and act like a boss. Anything that you feel, and you must get a lot of feedback from Grey Khan, Hellspawn, Ponderosa, anything that really is stuck in your mind that you want to take to the next event?
Basically, it's what Hellspawn mentioned. That is, you know, the first day of group play, which was boring, to say the least. The other thing is how we should ensure that people stay in their seat when there's a bar.
That was really funny. And I was actually thinking about someone should actually mention that as like a joke on the host, like saying, you know, we are actually sold out.
Yeah.
The problem is...
We were.
I know you were, but the problem was is everyone was actually... On the balcony. Yeah. And the
mezzanine.
The screen was so big that it didn't matter where you were in the venue.
And the volume was... sometimes pretty fucking loud.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But that was so good, though. The fact that it was so loud, it really got you involved in it. There was no way to avoid the energy.
I almost vomited when I was sitting in the sofa together with In Control because of the loudness, because I heard myself. So I couldn't... I had a hard time just speak, and then speaking on English, which is not my strongest language.
And he shit-talked your mother, man.
No, but that was nice. And I was talking about it. But it was just that I had such a hard time to speak because I was hearing myself so loud, so I almost vomited.
I must
vomit,
say this. It was the first time I had the honor of meeting Christian Hellspawn Lord's parents.
Don't lie.
It was the first time.
It was the first time, Rob.
Yeah,
she
said it was the third.
Okay, whatever. But they were so impressed because they said that when Hellspawn here was like 12, he sang in a boys' choir in the Globe Arena.
No, it's
and they never imagined that he would be here.
So corrupted.
Bossing it around.
Yeah. Cool. And I bet they're glad you're straight as well. So that's good too.
But it was 11 years since they was at a gaming event. And it was actually DreamHack Winter 2001, which was the first festival at Jönköping.
Yeah.
So it was a long time.
He's an old school guy, this.
Yeah,
he's an old dog.
Okay, so you know, obviously you were extremely happy with Forzane's win. That probably made the audience
thing
just
is,
go
you know,
crazy.
You couldn't have had a better finals. Yeah, you a guys Korean and a hometown boy.
It was scripted.
Yeah, it was scripted. The whole thing was a fake.
Everybody to lose.
I think it has been in the past too that always going to the last map. This was the first time in DreamHack history that it was down to it wasn't down to the wire, but it was still kind of exciting. I would say. We were lucky. You have to be that sometimes. I always hate when people are judging a tournament after the results and the players, because you can't do a jack shit about it, because that's just what happens.
Yeah.
We were just lucky in that part, but I still think that the production were down to the wire. It was really, really
good. So huge props and shout outs to Overlay guy, Mully Boy, and Coral, the guys behind the spaceship that is DreamHack when it comes to
the videos,
production.
Yeah.
And they are mad geniuses.
I think that this guy forgets the most important guy, and that's of course Marcus Lindmark.
Yeah, yes. but he's mad squared to the squared.
Everyone's mad that works at DreamHack. That's all I know.
That's why
I work with
Thing them. Is, you know, everybody at DreamHack is, you know, we're 9 people working full-time.
Yeah.
And when I talk full-time, I'm not talking Swedish full-time. I'm talking proper sweatshop full-time.
No, US full-time. Sorry.
Yeah, no, sweatshop. There you go. We work our asses off each and every day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks per year. And if it wasn't such a, you know, good time, they couldn't even pay me to do this. And then we have the extended team. Some are similar. Some, you know, the guys we pay to be a part of it. And they are maybe up to 30 people over a year. And then we have the beautiful thing that is DreamHack Crew, our volunteers. Yeah. And they do
Which
it.
Is the best.
And they also, and they do it as well because it's such a fucking hoot.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to say with Lindmark that...
Yeah, you want to shut the fuck up. Seriously, keep going.
But actually, I think that I could left the company. I think Robert could do it. I think even Greg Carno Ponderosa could leave the company. But
Lindmark?
But if
no.
Lindmark left the company...
It's like the heart left it.
Yeah, or and the, I think it wouldn't be possible. So all shout-outs to Lindmark. He was fantastic.
He's
totally fantastic.
He goes by the name of Energizer Bunny in the crew.
Yeah, he's scary.
He never lets up, man. Yeah.
He's a leader, he's a machine, he's awesome, he's a mastermind.
He never sees a problem, he sees just, okay,
solutions.
Duct tape that thing and buy some shit for that and we're good.
All right, well, Lindmark is absolutely amazing and people don't get to see the people behind the scenes. Yeah. They really make it possible. And you're a very small team that do a lot of amazing events. And of course, your next event is going to be DreamHack Summer.
Right.
Correct. But you've also secured the Blizzard Regional Nordic Finals for their World Tour.
The 28th of July.
28th of July. And of course, we wanted to have you on for half an hour interview. So we're only 5 minutes over. So that's good.
Oh, only five.
So we're going to give you a chance to say something like maybe a thanks or whatever you want to shout out to the audience and maybe, you know, just suck up a little bit.
I'm going to start.
I think it was a question to you.
Dudes and dudettes, if you enjoyed the last weekend, we're going to do it, but better, the 28th of July. Be there or be square.
You are so cool, Robert.
And what about DreamHack Summer? What about DreamHack Summer? DreamHack
Summer is sold out.
Ah. Shame.
When it comes to BYOC seats.
Almost.
So, yeah, but basically sold out. But come and see all the good shit, because DreamHack is so much more than StarCraft 2 and eSports as well. eSports is just, it's a small cake slice of the big thing that is DreamHack.
And internet in real.
Yeah, it's internet in real life.
And what's your focus going forward with your ISO open? Like, where do you really want to... Like, obviously, by the end, it's going to be at winter.
We want to somehow upset the galaxy so it, you know, tilts.
Okay. All right. So we wish you all the luck with that. Thank you, Robert. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and we're going out with you later for a dinner.
We're going to eat Swedish proper meatballs.
Yeah, we're going to have Swedish meatballs because we've got in control.
Yeah.
And of course, we're going to be keeping Hellspawn around for a little bit longer. Of course, you know, he's very diverse in esports. We're going to keep him on for a while. So what we're actually going to do then, as we just wrap up this DreamHack segment, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to be joined by In Control. And then we're going to quickly go over the StarCraft II news. And then, of course, we'll be bringing in Newman, the team manager from Dignitas, Odie's right-hand man, later to also discuss some of the topics. So stay with us, guys. We'll be right back after the break.
Victor Gads.
About to see is classified. You're here because it asked for a member of the Republic. Brace yourself. It actually detects real-time environments to create 3D audio. And for graphics, a 3D-ready GPU and tessellation we've never seen. At its heart, the Intel Core i7.
Unique presence detected.
It appears you've been chosen. It's ready.
I'm ready.
right, guys, welcome back to the Good Show. Of course, we just had Robert Olin on, the CEO of DreamHack. He's now gone upstairs to probably go through my room. But of course, we are now joined on the guest little corner, we can call it, with the Twitch TV asses. It's going to be In Control from EG. How's it going, man?
Good. Thanks for having me again.
And actually, you're still in Sweden because we haven't kidnapped you.
No.
We took some of your hair, sent it to Anna, said, if you want him back. But you're actually leaving Sweden. You're going back tomorrow.
Yeah, bright and early, 10 a.m.
Yeah, and enjoyed your time overall. We're going out later tonight, get some meatballs.
Absolutely. It was wonderful working with the DreamHack family. And then, of course, you've been a great host. Just been sitting around getting cheese and bad mare on the European ladder. And
How's your mom doing?
I don't know, man.
But everyone else knows on the European ladder.
Really well. Apparently.
Okay, so obviously we just spoke a little bit about DreamHack, you know, Forzane winning. We can just maybe take Jeff's opinion here. Forzane winning this tournament, like, how much was that a surprise? I mean, because when I spoke to Stefano, he actually mentioned that when I wanted to set up a show match, I was like, who's the only Terran that can beat you in Europe? And he's like, probably Forzane. So it seems that some of the Europeans were obviously aware of his capabilities, even though it was a very long time ago that he won a tournament. But, I mean, you coming to watch the tournament and seeing him in the finals, I mean, what did that look like for you, his play?
Well, with the tournament being in Sweden and with, you know, like Naniwa being in the round of eight for Code S, all the talk was Naniwa, it was Sase. Thorzane was actually almost after was an afterthought as far as like Swedish players playing in DreamHack Stockholm. It was only after Naniwa and Sase were eliminated where people were like, "Oh, okay, Thorzane, he's still got a good shot. He's our horse." And I thought that was rather fitting because Thorzane's kind of had that kind of career where he's indisputably been one of the best foreigners, one of the best Terran foreigners specifically forever since the beta. But people still kind of want to count him out because he's so understated. He's such a calm, respectful, very quiet guy. He doesn't do bad interviews, in fact. You know, when he does interviews, he answers thoroughly, answers politely, but he doesn't say remarkable things. You don't ask him, you know, what do you think of this tournament? He doesn't go, well, everyone's terrible and I've been training in Korea. You know, he doesn't say stuff like that. He just is a very dignified, respectful, very polite guy. So a lot of people count him out. But as the tournament started to kind of wind down and he started beating really good players, Sake and then Monster and then finally Holt, I think Sweden came to grips and probably the entire scene on a larger part that he's the hero that people like. You know, I mean, how much raw emotion do we see off that guy? Whereas I can think of other championships where people won and it looks like you just told them that it's, you know, it might rain tomorrow. And then they're like, wow.
And just to talk about the victory, do you in any way feel that maybe Holt underperformed or do you just think Forzane played just that good? Because Polt has, you know, obviously taken out Stefano, you know, and this is really a big win. This really puts Forzane from Mouse Sports, by the way. If you want to support Forzane, you know, you should head over to Mouse Sports. Really puts him on the map in terms of once again. So what do you think Polt underperformed is what I'm asking, or just Forzane played really well? And what should we really expect from Forzane in the future?
You know, in a complete vacuum, in a complete arbitrary way, if you were to take this and say, Polt took second, did he underperform? The answer is yes, because he's a CODES champion or CODES world-class champion. But I was there, and I witnessed it. And I've also played in tournaments for a decade now, and I can tell you that players who are better than other players can underperform or lose in tournaments, not necessarily because they're having some huge letdown, but because that's what tournaments are. There's nerves, there's endurance, there's travel, there's any given Sunday element, we call it in America, where like, two teams go in, one comes out, and sometimes it's the best team, and sometimes it's not, just because of how many characteristics and factors go into that. So on that day when I watched that series, I felt the momentum of the home crowd. I felt Thorzane playing for something much more important to him than to Polt. Does Polt win DreamHack Stockholm, and does that make his career? Nope. Does Thorzane win DreamHack Stockholm, and does that make his career? Yeah, possibly. This is his home crowd. This is the biggest tournament he's ever won. And I say that over TSL, not just because of prize pool, but because winning offline, sitting in a booth against your opponent is actually where we measure true champions. And this is the first time Thorzane's done that. He fell short in Valencia last year against Dong Regu.
That was cool. That was really cool.
Yeah, your guys' prize pool was beast, man. It was like all to the winner. Yeah. So I remember his tweet after that was actually like, thanks, guys. I took home $0.
I will never actually forget that because like literally 5 minutes after he actually typed GG, I talked to him and he was still happy They did such a strong tournament.
He was.
Even though he didn't get the zip off.
Did he lose 4-3? Lost 4-3, I thought, right?
It was no, it was like either 4-2 or something. It was quite close. He took a couple of games. 3-2. Yeah,
it was a good series.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And yeah, but Forzane felt he didn't play as good as he should back in that tournament there. So he's finally got a win. So that's one of the big tournaments this week. DreamHack, obviously, with Forzane winning. It's quite a good picture of him up on actually rackercard.se. And there's also some recap videos of the moment where he won. So make sure you go check that out, even if you're not Swedish. There he is. Look how happy that little man is. Robert's holding his check there, the guy that you just saw. But yeah, of course. And another big tournament this weekend, certainly worth a mention, was the MLG. Was it the Spring Arena, if I'm correct with the
Spring
title?
Yeah.
And it was DRG to defeat Marine King Prime in the finals. I didn't actually catch the finals, but of course, you guys might know a little bit more. Maybe he does, probably not.
I watched them, yeah.
Yeah, you watched the finals. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And how did that go down for you, Jeff?
Storyline-wise, I think just like DreamHack was saved by the fact that Thorzane won and not Monster or Polt.
Yeah.
I feel like MLG Spring Arena was saved by Dongregu winning as opposed to Marine King. I mean, it's as cool as it would be for Marine King to win three in a row. Some diversity there is really good. It's less fun to watch one guy just monster mode over everybody all the time. So for Dongregu to finally overcome his nemesis in the third finals that they faced each other in the MLG Arena and championship, I suppose. It's pretty cool. The games were better, and I'm just really happy that, like I said, we're not having Marine King dominate everybody. As cool as that is, by the way, like in StarCraft 2, I think one of the things that plagues it at this point in time is that it's not consistent. There's players that are hopscotching around from top to bottom, and it's because of the flow of the metagame, but also because of the balance patches, the maps, that kind of stuff. So for Marine King and Dongregu to so consistently place as highly as they have, and these aren't like tournaments that are riddled with foreigners, so we can't say, oh, well, you know, one guy had an easy path, the other guy had a harder one.
No, that was so stacked. So
all three of those tournaments were pretty much like a little step below GSL in terms of competition.
Yeah, and of course, you know, recapping MLG a little bit more, obviously EG Huck didn't have the easiest of times. How do you just feel about him in the pro scene right now? Because I can't remember what he went. It was like 1-7 in the groups. I don't know if he could play 8 people, but
six.
It was 1-6. Sorry, yeah. But a lot of people are looking at his games, and you know the feedback I get is like he's quite gimmicky right now, and people are figuring him out a lot more. But he's still one of those players, EG Huck, that constantly is one of the only foreigners at the MLGs that does get to the final 8, and so. How do you feel about EG Huck's performance in a very stacked tournament over at MLG?
All of his losses were 1-2, except for, I want to say, Heart 2-0'd him, but don't quote me on that. And that's, if you were to ask Huck, he doesn't care about 1-2 or 0-2, or he cares about winning and losing, and he's very upset about it. And that speaks volumes to him, but as far as I'm concerned, him and then Naniwa, who actually chose DreamHack to see his family and compete in that tournament over MLG Spring Arena, were the only two foreigners that even qualified for that top 8 group.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself was kind of an amazing accomplishment. Yeah, yeah. And you talk about how his play is critiqued as gimmicky, and I think that's a legitimate criticism. But I think another way to spin it and to look at it is that he has always been an aggression-first kind of player. Very gateway-heavy, he's going to try to do some severe damage to you inside 12 minutes, and then from there he'll be advantaged for the macro game, or he'll be disadvantaged because the attack did not work out. So there are certainly people figuring him out, but also the other side of that too is it's very volatile. We've had him place top 3, top 4 in MLGs with some of the most amazing Koreans on the scene, defeating even Naniwa at Columbus. And then we have him, like in this tournament, finishing out in the caboose of the group. Is he worse than everybody there? Maybe he is, maybe he's not, but on that day, his play was figured out and he placed at the bottom.
Yeah, and I really dislike the people always, when you do a bad tournament, count you out. Like, Huck has been there throughout the StarCraft 2, has existed actually, and he's always come back, he's done amazing, and I've had the opportunity to see him win, for example, DreamHack Summer, which was huge. And I think that, he's aggressive, but, I mean, that's MC too. And MC, I don't know how it went for MC during the MLG, but he might be the best player through all time, and he got knocked out quite early too, right?
Yes. For him, for his standards.
Yeah, for his standards. He was on top four. That... I mean, picking on Huck, that's just...
I'm not picking on
Huck. We're not picking on Huck.
I am picking on Huck because he's small and I can take him.
But he's so dedicated.
I think InControl is the best player in the world ever and handsome.
Yeah.
And I think also that's the way that you have to play Protoss in some regards. To do some severe damage so you can get into late game with some kind of advantage.
Name the Protoss player that's really famous right now for his turtle macro passive play.
Steve.
Who? Do you have any?
There's not one, really.
All right.
There's players that do that more than others. You just have to touch on it.
If you're gonna hate on a player because he got knocked out early,
wasn't even hanging about players.
It's not about hating on it, but you know, you have to take into account what Jeff mentioned earlier. It's just that any given Sunday, maybe it was just his bad day out, and that's it. It happens to everybody. You can't just count him out right off the bat like that.
It'd be one thing if he went first of all, let me just go ahead and speak up for James here. I didn't take that as him hating on Huck at all.
No, me neither.
There'd be one thing if a guy went like 0-6 or 0-7 and 0-14 or something like that, like just got bombed out. But if you watch all those games, like there's a lot of VODs up about really cool DT drop versus Parting, excellent series, you know, very close, going down to game 3 in most of those.
And people
it's a good tournament as far as I'm concerned for a foreigner.
People was also overestimating tournament results. I know that the players especially hates it, but I think it's just a lack of knowledge. But remember, Huck won MOG Orlando, which for me was the absolute hardest, most stacked and hyped tournament last year. And I want to say that I wrote a hard critique article about MOG Providence. But I think that looking at the moment, we can say that I was right, that MG Orlando was much, much more hyped than MG Providence. Even though it was much more money on the line, the finals, but MG Orlando was so fantastic and Huck won it. You should remember that.
I've got a poster above my bed with that, with him winning. I'll remember it forever.
Amazing.
So two great winners, obviously, this weekend from MLG and also a DreamHack event. A little bit... You know, scheduling conflict, obviously.
It will happen always. Yep. It's nothing new. It has happened so many times. It will keep on happening. I think it's good that the organizations are starting to talk more. It's happened in the past too. Like, I think that during eSTARS, there has been a conference with all the top dogs speaking. And the number one subject is always scheduling. Problem is that we're having events, and events are... always late. You announce when you have it done. The minute you have signed the paper, you go it live most of the times. Yeah. And so the organization don't plan 3 years ahead. Maybe they plan 3 weeks ahead. So that's, I think, is the main problem.
Yeah, so of course, two great winners on ESFI World, as you can see on my screen. We have them both there. ESFI World probably do some of the best coverage over in the American tournament.
For sure.
So if you want to check them out, you can see their recap. But also, interestingly, around DRG, with the look at that beautiful smiling face, is the merger of Meet Your Makers team up with Team MVP. There is a hype video on this. And you can see the players down here. We've got X-Lord, the only one from Europe, and then lots of good players. Only joking, X-Lord. I do love that guy. But, of course, so Meet Your Makers, having a partnership with, I Am MVP. I'm just going to say wow, because no offense, Meet Your Makers have been off the radar for me for a long time. They've changed CEOs. I met them when they had a lot of money, and they've spent a lot of money, and I met them afterwards. And they just seem like one of the organizations that were originally in G7. If you guys don't know what G7 was, it was a team association that basically, if tournaments or players and stuff were not acting right, they would be able to have some power. So, you know, it might have been like some players breaking contracts, some tournaments are actually forcing people to use these headphones, even though the sponsors of the teams need their headphones. And so Meet Your Makers were in the G7. Of course, G7 dissolved because pretty much Sam Matthews and Alex from SK just basically fight like brothers. I'm sure there's more to it than that. But Meet Your Makers were a premier team, and now they're not on my radar, but yet here they are. joining forces with I Am MVP. How much sense does this make to you, Hellspawn?
It's a strange move from the MVP part, I would say. But first, I want to say that I think the partnership with Complexity was extremely good for both of them. I think that actually that maybe was one of the best collaborations that I could see. I think they did so much better than the SKOGS. Even actually the OGS...
Well, SKOGS connection, don't they just take your player after they like him?
Yeah, yeah. That's, but during the partnership, it was not as fruitful and as impressive as the MVP and the Complexity.
Yeah.
And you should remember that Complexity is a really old organization, and now they are strong, and I think that the cooperation with MVP was part of it, getting on the radar in StarCraft 2. But this one is really strange. As you said, Meet Your Makers were the one having the crazy money. You should remember that Grubby, Moon, I think it was Soccer.
Moon was on 10,000 a month.
Yeah, salary. And that's actually what I would assume is more than both Idra and Huck has. Not together maybe, but I mean, the salaries...
Looking for a reaction on Jess' face?
Looking for a reaction on
Jess'
face?
Oh, I know.
Poker face.
Yeah, you see that?
I'm only joking.
I wanted to say is that Media Makers has been so huge in the scene. They've done so much crazy stuff. But I didn't expect them to come back. I know that they've been strong in Asia, though, with their Dota 2 team and Dota 1 team.
Yes, yeah, of course. So they were very big in Dota, just as a community site, Meet Your Makers, and they ran tournaments.
Yeah,
so
fuck me, what the hell? Sorry for that curse word.
Oh, but don't swear on this show.
Please,
no, sorry.
Man, please.
Wanker.
Sir. I apologize, but... it's
show some goddamn
move,
respect.
But the Meet Your Maker guy that was actually sent here, that was... He was really nice, and I hoped it would be fruitful for him. But
it does seem strange on paper, so we're not sure about what the deal is. But obviously, Jeff, you know, you've been in esports a long time. Maybe not so...
You don't have to tamper that down. I've been in a long time.
Basically, you don't know much outside StarCraft with the organizations, Jeff.
What
do you make of this, though, from Complexity to Meet Your Makers?
It's extremely disappointing. MYM is a name that... like he talked about Warcraft 3 for me in Brood War, they were an extremely prestigious team, and they very much so reminded me of like a Mao's organization now, where a lot of teams were going to Koreans, or they were, you know, they all stuck to kind of their regions. MYM was a very European team that had one of the best rosters in all of Brood War. They were really phenomenal that way. They traveled their players. They had no issues. They were very respectful. It was just an amazing organization. Of course, that went up and then went down. StarCraft 2 transition was a little rough. They went for... who is that Korean Protoss player?
Not
playing. Grimto, Artosis, and a few others. Yeah. And then Cloud was on there, actually.
Nadia was there, too.
They just kind of like sat. They did nothing with it. They ended up like losing those players because literally the guys would come out of the organization and were like, why'd you leave MYM? And they're like, I don't know if MYM's alive.
Yeah, exactly. Strange.
So it was really ugly. It went up and down, up and down, up and down. And now it pops back up. Somehow X-Lord's still on the roster. Like, that's unexplained. And they basically, like, that roster you just showed, that's just Team MVP that they slapped MYM on. And I gotta say, I have a real problem with that business model. I don't like it. I don't understand it, and I don't think it's good for business. When those guys go to tournaments, do we go, there goes MYM Monster or MYM Genius? Nobody says that. They say there goes MVP Genius.
I think that Sander did a good job, though.
And the players say that's where... I can ask this kid. I go, Monster, how do you feel about your merger? And merger what?
It does seem very odd that the Koreans are looking for the foreign teams to actually help support them into the foreign tournaments, even though, because obviously, I'm sure there's a lot of Korean fan base that still watch. So I kind of feel that Korea is catching up in terms of business, on terms of how much the teams are taking. And so...
it's good for the Koreans. What I'm saying is, for MYM as a business, as a team, if you're not going to pull those guys aside and give them a piece of paper that you print out that says, here's what's happening, and here's what we're doing for you, so that when I then ask Monster, or when Genius gives his winning interview for taking, you know, third and fourth place, and he says, I just want to thank my team, my sponsors, MYM, because I would not be here without them, and that's fantastic. Then people start to get the narrative, MYM is sending people around. Yeah. We're only exposed to Genius in Stockholm because of MYM, but we don't hear that. And then MYM, they're looting. They're sending globs of money around. And
I really don't know how healthy that business is, because I remember it from back in the day, and I really haven't kept up to date lately. But it does seem quite a strange move. So basically, you know, to kind of sum up that, we're probably going to keep an eye on it, and it'll be very interesting to see it unfold. But of course, if NYM do, you know, get those players out there to events, I'm very happy for them. But I just want them to get something from it
so that they can then sustain that.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I'm just thankful, actually, that they came to DreamHack again. Yeah. MVP has actually always sent players to us, and that's great. And I hope it will be fruitful, but also smart. Short, I just want to add that this is nothing new. SK, Mouseports, and everybody else has always had Korean players in their Western world. And I guess that's because of the structure and the salaries that not the Koreans had in the same kind of way. Mm-hmm. We will see what happens when the
Koreans
big dogs...
don't need salaries. They win tournaments.
If done right, that branding makes sense. What I'm saying is the MYM one seems hurried, and because of their history and them making such a huge paradigm shift here, it's really confused. And if they're not going to work towards making it clairvoyant, like as to why we're doing this, then it's just kind of like, thanks for sending them.
Yeah.
What would be interesting is what's happened when the Brit War teams will go for StarCraft 2 and how that will develop for the players.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, that's still quite big news. So keep an eye on that, guys, if you want to see how that unfolds, and we'll be keeping an eye on it as well. But one last thing then for the StarCraft 2 news. There is obviously too much to cover in StarCraft 2. It is very just an awesome scene. But, of course, newly announced is actually the Red Bull Battlegrounds $41,000 tournament. Recently just announced. We actually just pulled this up, and I see if I can get a link to it. I need to go over to Reddit now.
Here, I can send it to you, mate. You want Skype?
Oh, ESFI have it as well. ESFI. Let me just refresh some ESFI. And yeah, you guys haven't heard about this, obviously, because you've just been sat over there.
This just came up like in an hour or so. Yeah.
I think it's cool that Red Bull is into esports and they are keep doing this thing. Seems to be more of a tournament compared to what have been more of a practice before. I like it. And I think that choosing May is actually a good month. I don't know if it's so much international going on. It may maybe just some kind of MLG arena. They will be all over the place, I guess.
Yeah, but, and just to give you guys some information about it, if you haven't already gone on to ESFI World or read on Reddit R StarCraft, 16-player invitational. 41,000 up for prize money. Going to be May 26th to 27th. I am presuming day 9's involved. Yeah, you can see it's day 9. DJ Wheat and Husky. Oh, and Rob Simpson. Oh, joy!
That's a breath of knowledge.
Yeah, and
1,500 spectators. That's cool.
Yeah. So Red Bull, one of the, you know, obviously Red Bull was an Austrian company based in Vienna. You know, took on Extreme Sports. You know, we're talking mainly to Hellspawn here. let's just go back to Jeff a moment. Just camera on Jeff, just for a moment. What's that, Jeff? You thirsty?
You
okay? You're refreshed and you've got a lot of energy. But going back to the news, so Red Bull 16-player invitational. This is quite big because obviously they're quite happy with what Day 9 has been able to do with the Red Bull LAN. So
I think it has been known that they will do like 5 events during this year or something like that.
Yeah.
But doing with this kind of prize money and having audience and they have had some audience, but not in this way, it seems.
Yeah.
So I think it's really cool. I think that the Red Bull brand is awesome. You should read the storyline of how the company was created. That's amusing.
Yeah.
It's just good for everyone. Like, obviously, EG is sponsored by Monster, but without competition, there's only so far you can go. And Red Bull moving into the scene, I mean, they actually own the planet. They have so much freaking money. So I'm really excited. I was kind of disappointed right now to hear that it's a tournament. Like
16-player invitation.
I like
we have tournaments.
Past.
We have tournaments.
I agree.
Red Bull is capable of building an effing stadium and naming a soccer team after themselves. I think they could do something pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, a tournament's good. Don't get me... Like, I'm not going to be like, I don't want a tournament.
No.
No more tournaments. No, of course I want a tournament.
I
hope this is just a stepping stone for Red Bull. I hope eventually they get to a point where they build an actual robot that's like 70 feet tall and it's just Sean Dana and Plot and it walks like the world.
And we all get to shoot it.
And it just talks StarCraft.
Oh,
it's just
okay.
Like, hello, kids! StarCraft! And like crushes buildings and shit. That'd be awesome.
No, that might actually happen. I think what they did in the past was making a lot of sense with having Day 9 being very exclusive for Red Bull and having a Red Bull being exclusive to a training camp and also a tournament doing something special.
This is one thing I want to talk about as well, is that Red Bull and, you know, I have to say Day 9 on this, when they did that production of the practice, you know, Red Bull LAN, they weren't comparable to other people in the eSport organization because they were doing something different. So the production value, the concept, the entertainment levels, all you would say, well, it's different. So now they're actually coming into, you know, where IPL, MLG, NASL, you know, already have something in, you know, America, and now they're going to be directly compared. So I'm very curious to see how the production level of this is going to be, because obviously they have the money, they wanted to pay for it professionally, but will they? You know, how big of a stepping stone is this to go from, because no offense, the lighting on that Red Bull LAN was an absolute, like, fucking joke. It looked really retarded. It's true, right?
Cut the fluff, man. Just get, what do you...
It was pathetic. It was like DJ Wheat looked like licorice DJ Wheat. It was all kinds of colors, and it just felt like, okay, well, that's interesting. You know, so, but I mean, I'm now interested to see the step up, and I think all you guys should, you know, still support this and go watch it, but then, of course, you know, blame the lighting people if it's rubbish. Obviously, the lighting's not great in here, but whatever, but...
I want to say one thing about the American StarCraft 2 scene, though, and give some critique to NASL and IPL, that actually I was expecting both of them to do something big for the American scene and American players.
I have something to say to that.
If NASL had been American only and had those money, that attention for American players only, I think we already now would have had 10 in controls. Maybe even 10 IDRAs.
We wouldn't have a studio big enough for either of them.
No, but that would have been...
certainly not a couch.
That was lacking. We need more American players getting more attention.
I completely
more
agree.
More salaries, being able to compete on a higher level. And I think that there were some good parts of it with the EG Lair, with the Fnatic House. We had some other initiatives. Was the Root Gaming the same as the Fnatic one?
That was a player-based thing.
Do you feel that it's the same for the European scene as well?
Well, I'm just going to jump in once again.
We're going to be here all
James,
night.
Basically.
But I hope that Red Bull would have done it, but they don't do it either. Yeah, okay. So that was my critique against it.
I completely agree with you. And actually, part of the Good Studio, when we actually get round to doing LAN tournaments, they will be exclusively for the European scene, because we want to run enough tournaments just for the European scene to allow them have a reason to play more regularly, to grow and bring up more European pros. And there is, you know, a responsibility over there, but I don't think it's too bad when you've got MLG that has such a big tournament that allows so many players to compete. They don't need to necessarily win them to still be able to, you know, get their name out there. And, you know, so MLG, I think, probably do, you know,
yeah, but my critique wasn't against MLG.
Yeah, but it was...
They are doing it for the Americans also.
Let me say this, okay? So you brought up a really good point. I was actually one of the guys invited over to IPL Studios to do a lot of the promo work for their very first IPL. And one of the speeches they sat down and gave us was that they are American first. They're going to have American players. They're going to make this very much so about the North American scene. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely their opening
initiative. And then they pay for the whole GSL
but,
team.
But hang on.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Do not cut me off at that point.
Jeff is going to get to it.
I will punch everyone in the face. Stop a guy halfway through his point.
You think I'm scared? I got bottled the other day. I didn't
even
remember that.
You got a lot of expensive equipment here. You don't want me to get mad. Okay, listen. The rest of my point. Thank you. The rest of my point was the unfortunate circumstance.
Sorry, Jeff, we're out of time. We're going to go commercial break. So,
circumstance is that the North American scene lacks behind in skill. So when these leagues face wanting to feature North American players, they either have to pay out of pocket for like three seasons to build up those players before they ever get a return. And nobody wants to do that because they can't, because they're already spending...
Actually, that's quite interesting because already, though, the problem might be solved because Blizzard did announce their World Championships where they will be taking responsibility a lot for the grassroots of getting new gamers in. Yeah. And so if you guys, you know, make sure you follow what Blizzard are doing. Actually, the North American qualifiers are happening right now over on Playhem. So Blizzard are organizing that with Playhem. And also, of course, the MLG will have the North American finals. But also, this weekend is going to be the Italian sorry, yeah. Blizzard World Championship Italian
so congrats
finals.
Congrats to Cloud. Congrats to Cloud. Yeah, that was very
good. But so, I want to be a jackass, though.
Be a jackass. Go
that,
on, then.
That I know that IPL had some parts in the rules, how to say, to not hurt the American players and the American scene, which for me was very odd, and I know that it's not out
there
in the public.
There were rules not to hurt players. Like,
no, but there were some interesting parts about, especially the Americans.
Well, could you elaborate?
Yeah,
you
know,
I'd rather not.
Well, get the fuck off the show. Yeah, but you've... Okay.
I just
well, that's crazy. So.
Yeah, so... But I liked IPL 1, actually. Americans only. But it was replays, which hurt them a lot.
Okay. All right, so yeah, basically that all stemmed from, there's a Red Bull van. Watch it, bitches. May, end of May.
Red
Bull gives you wings.
And of course, that brings us to the end of our StarCraft 2 segment. It's taken up way too much time than I liked, personally, but there is a lot going on. We will be covering news from other games in just a moment. We've got some BLC, Quake, Con, Dota, and also Counter-Strike. There is actually some worthy news in Counter-Strike, but joining us after the break will, of course, be Dignitas Newman, someone who actually works with teams in all these games, so we'll be happy to have him on the show. And, of course, in control, you're free to leave.
Finally.
Please don't break anything. Thank you very much for coming on, In Control.
Thank you.
And I hope we get to see you further down the line in Europe, maybe DreamHack Summer.
It's had a blast.
And I think the guy that recommended you to do the couch interviews for this event, recommended you to DreamHack, was a fucking genius.
I think so, too.
And because he
very
saw...
Very humble, too.
Yeah. He's a good-looking guy. And I think you did fucking amazing, by the way, at DreamHack.
Thank you. I appreciate
so
it.
So I'm really proud that, you know, someone basically... I like the fact that show DreamHack ran, and I didn't have to come on stage and be an idiot. That's the best part. So
we're all happy.
Yeah, we're all fuck you. thanks for that, Jeff. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, but before I do, please remember on Facebook, over at ROG Nordic on Facebook. I've got it. There is a competition to win an awesome laptop. You have to like the page, and then it's called the G55VW contest. And then you need to write comments at the bottom of what does Asus Republic of Gamers mean to you. It basically means this show exists, and the fact that you're here watching as well. So thanks to Asus for supporting us, and we're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, it's going to be Dignitas Newman and Hellspawn, and of course, this guy.
Classified. You're here because it asked for a member of the Republic. Brace yourself. It actually detects real-time environments to create 3D audio. And for graphics, a 3D-ready GPU and tessellation we've never seen. At its heart, the Intel Core i7. It appears you've been chosen. It's ready.
I'm ready.
All right, guys, welcome back to the good show. In Control's just left us, gone upstairs, going to get ready to get his Swedish meatballs later. And, of course, we're going to go into some other topics around esports, as we like to discuss a lot of things. We're on a time constraint, so I'm very strict on the show. You noticed that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. He just wants to drink. But, of course, in the future, we'll redefine the show a little bit and get it running smoother. But for the first pilot show, I'm quite happy because we've got some awesome guests. And joining us is another one. It is actually Dignitas Newman from Team Dignitas. And I guess we should just pose you a question. We should have a little introduction first. Sure. Do you want to tell us just a little bit about what you do and what you're responsible for over at Team Dignitas?
Yeah, I mean, I founded the team together with Odie and a couple of other players back in 2003. Nowadays, I basically run the team together with Odie. Do a lot of like background work, strategy and analysis, stuff like that.
Yep. So, I mean, you originally spawned Dignitas out of a Battlefield team.
Yep.
So you used to play as well professionally. Yeah. So professional gamer now, you know, obviously that knowledge and you keep tracks on everything Dignitas, and I've one of the best organizations. But a question I should ask, because Hellspawn told me I should, but he said I should ask it, is what's up with your StarCraft II team? Apparently there's not enough Koreans. I already know the answer to this because Odie told me.
We have a Korean already, Select.
I mean, it doesn't count.
We get approached by Koreans.
It's been Americanized.
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, we get approached by Koreans a lot. Different teams, different players. But, I mean, we're quite happy with the team as it is. And, I mean, there's a lot of new Koreans coming into the scene as well in Korea from another scene. So we're maybe waiting for that as well.
I also know when I spoke to Odie, he did say that Team Dignitas, you know, I've seen Team Dignitas grow. I was actually a member of Team Dignitas for a Quake back a long time ago. I think it was like 2004, just a year after you established. But there was, he said that a lot, when you work with sponsors, that you do a lot of other things outside of just competing in tournaments, a lot of promotional events, and sometimes, you know, picking up a Korean, they can't do that for sponsors as opposed to European players. So I know how valuable that is to sponsors to actually have access to players in different countries, and you have a really full roster. You pretty much support most of the games out there. So we'll see if you go Dignitas Flash, we'll make it happen. but of course, so let's get into the next bit of news and one of the games that we wanted to cover here on the Good Show. And this is something that Samler is going to be able to talk about is Bloodline Champions. So Samler, do you want to take us through the news?
That's going
to
be on the show then.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and talk about BLC right now. And it's going to be short. I'll keep it short and sweet. Don't worry.
All right. Thank you very much for that BLC segment. And we'll be moving back on StarCraft 2 in just a moment.
Yeah, StarCraft 2 is the founder of esports after all. We all know that.
No.
Yeah.
Go on. You not even got Come your on. Thing up. Bring up your tab.
Well, dude, I'm figuring out how to get through crowds easier by strapping a chainsaw to a bike, apparently.
Okay, go on then.
So BLC, of course, we got Star Ladder coming up, and that is going to be held in Kiev this weekend, the Star Ladder Finals. Teams have been competing in it for the past couple of months. There's been a very close ladder, but of course the Europeans have dominated.
Yeah.
It's only natural. I mean, they've been playing the game for longer. The Russians are trying to make their way into the scene, but, you know, the European teams have more experience. So the top teams, I believe, are going to be Razer, Dot Meanwhile in Finland, and Mr. Dandictory. So those are going to be the two European teams that are going to make it into the LAN finals. And then we have a couple of Russian teams that got added. PTL did qualify on the ladder. They went through the games. And as well as the other two teams that were invited on a whim, it feels like.
Yeah, well, basically the story behind Star Ladder. Star Ladder obviously running StarCraft II tournament. Actually, that finals for Star Ladder. Yeah, and Dota 2 is actually going to be this weekend, so you should definitely check it out. They've got some really good production, and the people behind it from a Cyber Arena Cafe, supported by Cyber Sports. Yeah, and they're actually, I believe, supported by both Intel. I can't remember the other one, might have been Asus. I know Twitch TV also support them. But the big story is that there was only meant to be four people that qualified to the tournament.
Four teams.
Because I think there were three Europeans and only one Russian team, they decided, fuck it, we're just going to add one Ukrainian team and one Russian team to the finals because, you know, in Ukraine you can do what you want. Look at White Row, right? So that's quite interesting, but make sure you check that out if you're into BLC. Quite surprising that happened. Other news, obviously, is the Steel Series Cup, where Razer, made in Finland, also won that one, and they're going to be competing in Star Ladder. But what's talked about most within the Bloodline Champions community
is
actually going to be the Asus Spring Cup. the Asus Open, which is actually...
I'm sure you know all about it. Go ahead, please.
All right. So the Asus Open, and if you're not familiar with the Asus Open, it's normally the Spring Cups, which are actually... I'm just overruling him to get through the time.
No, I know. It's fine. It's fine. Give Jay a mic and count on him taking the screen. Don't worry about it.
I'm going to rage quit.
Go for it, bro. That's fine.
I mean, you got a girl. I mean, you got girls you need to call.
No. You got a show that's going on. Fucking handle it.
All right. So the Asus tournaments have been running for a very long time over in Russia and Ukraine, and they incorporate a lot of Counter-Strike and Quake previously, and we followed them Hellspawn for a long, long time. Now they've incorporated Bloodline Champions because Bloodline Champions was recently released in Russia, and what they've actually said, even though it's called an Asus Open, the tournament's called Asus Open, is that they've banned European teams from actually entering.
Oh, really?
Yes. So the Asus Open Cup is exclusively for, you know, Russian and Ukrainian teams. Now,
I like the name Open, at least. Yeah. I wonder where it got
from. This is a decision made by tournament organizers, not Asus. I mean, it's the tournament organizers' discretion. And Semler has most of the information, and he's very wise and handsome and good with women. And he'll tell us a little bit about what they said, or the community.
Yeah. So I'm going to say something.
Why are you on 9gag?
What am I supposed to be saying
during
again?
The show?
What was I supposed to be saying again? It's going to be something about what was it? Asus Open, right? Asus Open, yeah, banning European teams. There's nothing really more to be added to it. You about summed it up. They've banned them out because apparently there was a technicality or some sort of bullshit that came up where it was claimed that they couldn't pay European teams. That was the reason given. Truly,
prize money, you mean?
Most likely, right. It's going to be prize money, and there's complications regarding paying European teams. It's not going to happen. Apparently, it's more honor and pride, I think, that has to do with it. So, European teams only, or pardon me, Russian teams only, will be participating in the tournament. And to be honest, there's been quite a lot of discussion in the BLC scene, but it's kind of split, you know, because there's arguments in both ways. You know, the Russian scene needs to grow the Russian scene. And giving more tournaments to the Russian teams where teams can participate in it, that's a smart move. It's going to mean that more fans are going to tune in to watch. It's a smart business move. I mean, you want more viewers on the stream.
Yeah.
But then again, the European teams are the premier teams in the scene. They are the people that people tune in to watch because they know that they're playing at the highest level in Bloodline Champions. So, I don't know. I actually want to shoot it over to Hellspawn and Mr. Newman over there, who's messing with his mind.
Yeah, how do
and
you
see what they think about it?
How do you find this? I mean, do you think it's good to allow a scene to grow, Russia, without the European competitors? It's kind of like similar saying no Koreans in a specific tournament.
Yeah,
or do you feel that, like, it's on the other flip side that they should all be able to compete?
I mean, I think everyone should be able to compete. I know the Asus tournaments have usually been quite CES country heavy. I mean, they're always in how Russians and Ukrainians they're playing.
Yeah.
There haven't been that many teams from Europe coming anyway. I mean, for BLC as a whole, it's probably better for the entire community to go, I think. Because I think in Russia, BLC is a lot bigger right now.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
And how's one?
I just feel sorry for a BLC community that had so many strikes. The scene is so small, maybe it's good that the Russian scene is getting stronger, and maybe it's a good call. It's just silly to call it open, maybe in that regard, I would say.
Yeah,
but we will see what happens. I know that Newman with your team has supported BLC a lot, and I don't know what more to add. I think it's such a small community compared to a lot of other esports.
Well, of course, you know, Bloodline Champions will be featured in Star Ladder, and normally there will be a big tournament every 3 months. So
I mean,
the Europeans,
Star Ladder. Actually, when I saw the commercials for it when it was presented, I was very skeptical. But now I'm more impressed. Their Dota 2 numbers has been kind
amazing.
Of big, actually.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, they definitely have a strong grip. So that's always good for the BLC scene. But, you know, obviously that's quite controversial. I'm not sure what you guys in the viewers think. And I know not many of you are also BLC players.
We could spend quite a bit of time
care.
Discussing it.
Just one last thing. The official explanation is, I mean, that kind of feels like bullshit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can't pay
and
to
that's
Europe.
That's where a lot of the discussion has stemmed from, is
payment?
That it doesn't feel, it feels like a Band-Aid. It doesn't feel like the real reason.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why we're kind of wondering, like, why weren't they more clear with us? just give us a little bit of something. We're not going to rage at you. Just please, you know, give us an actual reason why. Yeah.
And also to mention that I was actually invited as a Quake player to enter the Quake tournaments for the Asus tournaments like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because I always said I wanted to go to Russia. And they said, you should come to the Asus tournament because they obviously knew I wasn't going to win. So maybe you just don't need to win tournaments to get entered over there. All right. Yeah. So that's Bloodline Champions. Moving on to Quake. Obviously, there's not much going on for Quake in terms on a week-to-week basis. But of course, we do have the DreamHack tournament coming up for Quake, sponsored by Kingston. But what is important about Quake that has changed is that Quake live stream numbers are on the rise.
Yeah.
Quite heavily. We ran a tournament here and we actually got 8.5k viewers concurrent, which is pretty damn amazing. But also, the success of the amount of people that enjoy watching Quake has traveled out to other streamers. For example, we have levelupyourgame.net, which are actually, oh my god, I've actually got something playing there. Levelupyourgame.net run premium Quake tournaments and they cover a lot. They actually did the Nation Cup finals on Clanbase and achieved over 2,000 viewers. And they also did the Zotac Cups, which are a weekly cup, quite small. They normally get like anywhere between 100 or 200. But they actually, they're getting over 1,000. So Quake Live, the entertainment value is definitely still there. But what does this mean to like maybe you as a tournament organizer or Newman as a, you know, team manager looking at Quake, you know?
Yeah, I mean, stream numbers are obviously really important.
Yeah.
I guess for you as well as me. I'm just wondering if those really good stream numbers are translating into more people competing in tournaments and more people playing the game.
I love Quake. I'm original Quaker. I think it's for sure the absolute best esport game. If I was up to picking one tournament, I would pick Quake, actually. I love the stars, I love the game, I love everything about it, but it has had huge problems actually since WVSG went down WSDG. In 2007. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for it. I watched actually TDM by a slump yesterday. I don't remember which two TDM team it was. Neo versus 102, I think. It's always entertaining, always exciting, and I know that a lot of the big stars already have signed up for the DreamHack Summer, so that's going to be entertaining as always. I just ashamed that I cannot follow the tournament, because if I went there as a visitor, I would just follow the Quake, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm happy, and I think that it's going to be like this for a while, that Quake goes up, and Quake goes down, and Quake goes up, and Quake goes down. And I mean, look at the Quake World community here in Sweden and in Europe. It's actually getting a second wave or a 1,000 wave now. So organizing tournaments, the players meet again. It's just so freaking awesome. But the game is too small. This game is too hard for a new scene and players. We need more players into it. But great entertainment value.
All right. Well, yeah, it's a big increase over the Quake community, and that's really, you know, news that is worth mentioning, just because, you know, if people are enjoying watching Quake, hopefully more people will do more tournaments. And if you want to find some of the coverage that levelupyourgame.net do, just go to their website, as I mentioned.
That's how we all met Trance, too.
Yeah, that's how we met Trance.
Doing all possible for Level Up Your Game, so thanks a lot to Trance.
I found him breaking into my house, but okay. So moving on then into Dota 2. Obviously a lot going on in Dota 2.
Crazy.
It's just insane, isn't it, the amount of streams going on. But some of the mentionable things that we want to mention, we've already mentioned Star Ladder Finals will be the upcoming weekend, and I'm sure everyone will be ready to watch that. Also, the Gosu Gamers are starting the Gosu League. First Blood, it's called. Only $3,500 prize money, but they're already currently doing qualifiers. There's only a couple left to actually qualify to the tournament. But of course, you know, those are some of the things that you want to watch out for. And DreamHack are doing Dota 2 as well.
At the moment, we actually run the qualifier for the DreamHack Summer. So
at this moment,
we will have the first team qualified online. I actually haven't followed it, but I think that James has forgot the big news about Dota 2.
Free to play.
Exactly.
Don't worry, we didn't forget. We were going to get to that.
I want to ask Newman, how big is it that it's free to play? I know that your player, Shu, did a write-down about it some months ago, and it was a good one. How important was the free play?
I mean, it's the only route they could take, basically, to try and compete with League of Legends. There's no other way they could compete, especially in China and Asia. So that's really big, but it was like obvious choice to do. I think for Dota, though, it's I'm comparing it a lot with League of Legends at the moment because of our League of Legends team as well, and it's I don't think the stream numbers are matching the hype right now. Dota 2 is getting. So.
What do you mean the stream numbers aren't matching the hype? I mean, you think there's more hype around how many people are.
More hype around Dota 2 and how big Dota 2 is going to be. And then you compare it to the stream numbers. They aren't really following that hype.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's probably going to get better, but it's not there yet, basically.
Do you think the fact that it's still in beta has anything
that's
to do with
it? That's a big thing
as well. I think for a game in beta, and the fact the community has got so behind it with all the tournaments and the teams are supporting it has only a really good future. But one of the things that we have to mention about the free-to-play announcement, was it also mentioned what microtransactions there could be, or would there even be microtransactions? Because we only know it's free-to-play. So do you know anything else on the... Yes, Hellspawn put his hand up. He's probably not going to tell us.
No, I don't know, but I have a speculation, actually.
Go on.
And that would be that Dota 2 would not have any payment.
I'm almost thinking this could actually be right, just because of it gets people on Steam.
Yeah, exactly, because I'm also a Counter-Strike player. I played on a high level here in Sweden, competing a lot. Actually faced Greycon a lot, who had two rivals. Anyway, and since Steam arrived, was it like 2002, I have never used it as the platform. I never bought a game, I never used the friendship, or I just used it like five friends to connect to some servers. But with Dota 2, I have actually started to get friends on it. Like, so I have maybe 20, 30 people. And so it's. I think that this could be a way...
Christian, shut the fuck up. We have to go and take Jeff to dinner, man.
Yeah, well, don't worry, Christian. He's not your boss. He's a very silly man.
Seriously, we have to go now.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry, we got this. We got this, because there's only a few bits of news left, guys.
Yeah, but anyway, I think that you get into the platform and you will start to buy a lot of games because you see who your friends are playing.
Yeah, let's also not forget that Steam last year did launch their free-to-play game service, and they have had free-to-play games on there, like Bloodline Champions, and they do have a system for microtransactions, because Steam do take 30% of all sales, and also 30% of microtransactions. So they have the capability to sell through Steam on, you know, microtransactions across the game and even in-game, rather than just downloadable content. So we'll see how that goes. Other news in MOBA games, Heroes of New Earth are doing $60,000 tournament over at DreamHack Summer.
The DreamHack.
Yeah, DreamHon is called. DreamHon. We can actually bring up some details about it. But how do you feel about DreamHon? Because obviously it feels to me like it's Heroes of New Earth's last stand.
Hard to say. I think that Han has been so strong in Sweden, and Han has had a great esport part, maybe some even bigger than League of Legends in the part of having these teams and these players and characters. I think that's what League of Legends is lacking. They don't have the star quality that Han has and that Dota 2 already have. That's my personal thought of it. So I don't count out Heroes of New Earth. I think that the tournament can be amazing, but they have lost a lot of the quality players to Dota 2 already.
Yeah, I mean, star quality-wise, League of Legends is way, way, way ahead of Han. I think Han has still got a lot of players playing, from what I understand, but they're not... I mean, the esports part seems to have disappeared somehow.
Yeah.
Faded away. So, well, I mean, this could be the last stand, or this could be like the comeback. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But basically, these tournaments will be probably, if you watch them and actually see how big the numbers are, how big the community will grow, it will, I think, somewhat decide where Heroes of New Earth will go in terms of esports, because they're not going to want to keep pumping in quite a lot of prize money, $60,000. Yes. It's more than the Dota 2 at DreamHack. So we'll see if it works out for Heroes of New Earth. So keep an eye on that. Of course, as well, over in Counter-Strike, a game where I feel really bad for, because it feels like what happened with Quake is now happening with Counter-Strike. There's lack of tournaments and, you know, people wanting something new. But, of course, we've got Counter-Strike Go around the corner. But there is actually a Counter-Strike tournament going to happen at Inferno Online in Stockholm with the new launch of the, I believe it's the Intel CPU.
Yeah.
And it's only a 10,000 SEC tournament, which roughly
I think dollars, actually.
A $10,000 tournament, sorry. So that's actually quite big news for Counter-Strike, but it's it's quite a promotional event, and Trans is getting so angry at me that I don't bring up the right things. There it is. No, I haven't even got that up, Trans. I just don't worry about it.
I don't know why they're using Raka Car for everything, though. That was not intentional.
You told me I had to, otherwise you go mental.
But one more thing. Actually, this weekend in Stockholm at Inferno Online, you will be able to see the Swedish Championship. And it's actually Fnatic and SK coming there and six other Counter-Strike teams fighting for the last two spots for DreamHack Summer. That's going to be big. And we're going to see Torsten tomorrow also in StarCraft 2 and much, much more competition. So StarCraft Counter-Strike is alive. Actually, I've changed my mind about CSGO. I was not a believer at all, but what I see now is that they're doing a lot of tweaks. They're doing getting the community with them. So if it keeps going and Valve doesn't rush it, I think that CSGO actually can have a really bright future. And we have seen that ESL is supporting CSGO already quite a lot. And I think that InterExtreme Masters will support CSGO as soon as it's possible. And it can actually turn out to be great. I start to be a believer.
Yeah, and of course,
I'm happy.
And of course, Newman, you know, Team Dignitas, famous for having one of the worst Counter-Strike teams in the world constantly, never performing.
Did you have any?
We had a lot of teams.
You did, yeah, a lot. Quite excited for CSGO, because obviously the last the CS tournament, the last one, was about 17,000 viewers, and that was at Copenhagen Games. Yeah. And they actually had to turn off the HLTV servers to be able to achieve that. But there was a CSGO tournament at the event as well. But obviously, you're just going to keep your eye out on CSGO, I guess.
I mean, yeah, definitely. CSGO is the future. Definitely. Hopefully, a lot of the 1.6s will transfer over as well. But I don't think the game CSGO needs the 1.6ers to be successful. Could bring in new people from every different...
It needs to. There is too few 1.6ers already, I think.
Yeah, and it's new players, basically, from all other games.
Listen to this. What happens if it's going big? Like, maybe, like, CPL was back in the days. What if the old guys, maybe Heaton comes back? What would that be for the scene? I mean, I think it has the potential, if things goes right, but...
To be one of the biggest esports games.
It's
as big as League of Legends or bigger?
Impossible to say, but it can be crazy at least.
Another disadvantage with the game is that you have to fly five people to an event. It's a lot more expensive to basically run a team. Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit of Counter-Strike news, and of course Counter-Strike Go, and I've heard as well from Khan and Get Right that, you know, they will change at least at the start just to try and support, you know, how it goes. I'm not sure if Khan, but he suggested.
I think everyone is gearing up for that.
Yeah, but everyone is gearing up for that. So just to get into some developer news of what our eSport developers are doing lately. Of course, Diablo 3 had open beta this last weekend. So Blizzard are getting ready for that. It was a big stress test. Apparently, it went quite well. Head over to Diablo3.com, I do believe it is, to check out that. There are lots of forum threads with feedback, and I'm really looking forward to that. Could be one of the new arena games that actually becomes an eSport.
Hopefully.
I really think, just because of the amount of players that it has, even if it's not the best arena game, the prestige would make it really good.
Didn't they say that they weren't...
They weren't focusing on eSports, but yeah. when the community is that big, they just want to kill each other on camera.
It's like World of Warcraft. It was not around with World of Warcraft either, and that actually got kind of big.
Yep.
Got me into eSports. Maybe it even was the big beginning of your career... Or after pro gaming.
Yeah,
with the ESL.
It definitely was. But of course, you know, we're keeping an eye on Diablo 3. That's going to be out on May 15th. Also, we mentioned earlier that Blizzard are taking on the World Championship by themselves to try and get more people into gaming and do a lot of national finals, which is really great. So make sure if you're a North American, you check out Playhem, who are doing the qualifiers right now. MLG are doing the finals June 8th to 10th. And of course, the Italian finals are going to be 1st of May. 8 players invited, 2 players to qualify for the European finals, and we still don't know who's going to run the European finals. But I guess
what did ESL do today? Going on Twitter about their news from 3 weeks ago, I didn't really understand. We know you're doing 12 countries, they're doing the South American Championship, but why tweet about it 3 weeks after the news?
I don't know.
Trying to ride on all the attention that MLG got and you got.
maybe. But
I know they're doing the ESL. The ESL UK is doing it at the BAFTA Awards. So that's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it's great that Blizzard have involved external partners, because actually that is a big source
it's
of income. Really,
fantastic.
You know, Blizzard are actually one of my, like, I always looked at Riot and went, yeah, they've got it right. But now I'm like, Blizzard, you've done it bigger, better. And they're actually really are supporting the guys that are already currently running tournaments and giving them additional support. So I'm really happy
it's
with Blizzard.
Really helping out, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you pulled up in a Ferrari, you know, to the house. So that's working brilliantly for you over at DreamHack. And then, of course, we talked about what Valve are doing with Dota Free to Play, but also Stunlock
Dota
Studios.
Free.
Yeah, Stunlock Studios and Funcom, currently right now over in Bloodline Champions. Just to mention, to end on a low note, another strike, if you will, Hellspawn for you, against their name, is that the SteelSeries finals were ran between the two teams in the finals, Razer.mif, who actually won a SteelSeries Cup.
Can I get a little backstory on this real quick?
Yeah.
That would be, yeah. So basically, the last SteelSeries finals, they were put off for this very reason, packet loss.
On the servers.
So many people were having trouble connecting. The teams couldn't even play. They couldn't even compete because they were getting so much lag.
Because Funcom moved their
it
servers.
It was put off for 3 or 4 months until the servers could get stable again. What happens at the grand final when they finally decide to run them? Packet loss.
90% packet loss,
up
apparently.
Up to 90% packet loss for most of the teams playing.
It's a Funcom, great advertisement for the game.
Fix your shit. Stunlock Studios, kick Funcom up the bum. And that really takes us to the end of the show, and we don't need to see Robert.
This is not a Swedish show.
It's not.
It's from Sweden, because in Sweden we...
What? What
did we're on the clock, man.
Yeah.
We're on
the clock. You're ruining the atmosphere, Robert.
Yeah.
You're not drunk enough.
He's a child.
Like a raging beast.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with Jim.
So, as we come to a close of our first pilot show, which ran okay.
I think it was awesome.
Oh, well, it's okay. It's okay. We haven't found our stride, guys.
Newman's
going to get a lot better.
More attention, though.
Yeah, Newman needs
more time.
He'll be here next time.
Yeah. So, basically, thanks, Hellspawn and Newman, for coming on. Really happy to have you here, and we're going to have you in future shows as well. We were thinking of renaming the show, one more show. Just because I think it'd be funny.
Yeah.
But we might keep the good show for now. And of course, just a shout out to the guys that have watched us, the audience. Thanks for sticking with us. This show is, we literally threw it together in half an hour. Because it's yeah. And I didn't let Samla talk much, but I think that's a good thing considering, you know, what you've been saying lately. but of course, a last shout out to you guys. If you want to keep supporting us with this project, the Esport Talk Show, which we'll define over time and get it running better, yeah. Head over to facebook.com/ROG Nordic. You can enter the competition to win this awesome laptop. You just got to like the page. After you've liked it, click the G55VW contest. It will take you to this page. And this page, you just need to write, what does Asus Republic of Gamers mean to you?
Republic of Gamers.
Yes. And these guys do a lot for esports. They support, obviously, the Asus ROG tournament, which is run off the back of Assembly, but they do a lot of great stuff. So make sure you support them, which supports us, and hopefully we'll get this show fine-tuned as quickly as possible. But otherwise, thanks for coming on. Thanks for watching. And Semler has one last thing he would like to say before we leave.
If I bring this up, it might start us on a new discussion, so that's actually... Probably detrimental to the discussion, but look at this. Regarding the Aces Open.
In the meantime, follow us on Twitter, follow Team Dignitas, follow Rocket Car, follow DreamHack, follow the good studio.
So basically, Aces What's Open are now allowing people to enter.
We made them shame!
No, wait.
What are they not allowing?
No, Mr. Two is... apparently they found a loophole, and
a
that they're able to... The European teams, if they play in the last qualifier, the very last qualifier, the weekend before the event, they will be allowed to compete in the event. But that's the only way that they can play in the events.
Well, that's
they have
right.
to compete
At least
in
they
the
get
last qualifier.
One qualifier. Loopholes for the win. All right then, guys. So thanks for watching. We're going to be back tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday with obviously the Learn to Play series. We're going to bring Apollo back for StarCraft 2 because we want to get a depot in StarCraft 2. And of course, we do have a big StarCraft 2 tournament coming up this Sunday. Starts around, I believe, at 6 p.m. And, of course, it will be a four-player invitational, $1,000 on the line. And I think most games will be best of five and maybe even finals best of seven. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of cool StarCraft. But stay tuned to The Good Studio. Thanks for watching. I'm sober, which I'm not happy about. And we're going out to fix that problem. See you in a bit.
The technology you're about to see is classified.
You're here because it asked for a member of the Republic. Brace yourself. It actually detects real-time environments to create 3D audio. And for graphics, a 3D-ready GPU and tessellation we've never seen. At its heart, the Intel Core i7.
Unique presence detected.
It appears you've been chosen. It's ready.